This is a Leica. It's a 35 millimeter handheld digital camera. Used to be a film camera. Small, easy to operate, but fantastic quality in terms of the pictures it got. This little camera set off a revolution in photojournalism and photography in the 1930s that completely changed the nature of the industry and completely changed what photojournalism and pictures would look like. The reason was because of the technology, not because of someone doing something different. It's the technology that precipitated a different revolution. This is an iPhone. Like the Leica, it's small, it's lightweight, it's easy to operate, but it also gets fantastic resolution in video. What the Leica did for photography, this iPhone is going to do for video and video journalism if it's used properly. And that's the difference. Let's go back to the Leica. In the 1930s, all professional photographers, and all time before that, used big view cameras. They sat on tripods, they shot a single sheet of film like this. They got fantastic resolution, but they weighed a ton, and they only got one shot at a time. In the 1930s, the Leica company in Germany invented this little camera, or an earlier iteration of it. Instead of shooting one sheet of film, it shot 35 millimeter, a roll of 35 millimeter film, 36 exposures. This camera meant it was small, it was lightweight, you could carry it with you, but more significantly, it gave a sense of intimacy. You could get close, you didn't have to carry around all this giant equipment, and that's what changed photography. The advent of the Leica gave birth to a whole new generation of photographers, like Cartier-Bresson, like W. Eugene Smith, and a whole revolution in terms of what photography, and more importantly, photojournalism looked like. For the first time, the pictures were personal, they were intimate, they evoked emotion, which before that, the giant camera with one exposure like this, the best you could do is your relative standing like this in these very stiff formal portraits like you've seen Matthew Brady from the Civil War. Photographers, professional photographers, weren't sure about the Leica because suddenly instead of using big negatives, they had little teeny tiny negatives like Davis, and the thing, compared to those giant cameras, it looked like a toy. No one was really sure what to do with it, and a lot of times people misused it. They put it on a tripod, they take one exposure like that. It didn't leverage off of what this new technology made possible for the world of journalism. The same thing is now true with the smartphone. In 1961, the Metropolitan Museum of Art, the Museum of Modern Art in New York, had an exhibition called The Family of Man. And they took these photographs, these journalistic photographs from these great photographers who've been using Leicas for 20 years, and they had an exhibition, and they elevated. They elevated photography, journalistic photography, from a craft capturing very stiff formulas to an art form. And today, the work of those great photographers, like Salgado, whose work I happen to collect, are worth thousands and thousands of dollars because not only are they journalism, but their art. And the reason that it worked, the reason it became art, is because the relationship between the instrument, the tool, and the subject and the photographer completely shifted. And that's because now the photographer could very easily get into intimate situations. It didn't intimidate people. It wasn't showing up with a lot of big gear. The camera didn't sit on a big tripod. You have to put the hood over your head. It changed the nature of the way that photography was done. And as a result, it changed the nature of journalism. The point of journalism is not just to take a picture in terms of photography and in terms of video. The point of journalism is to capture a moment, to carry emotion, to evoke that emotion in the viewer, to capture the emotion of the story. You have to be close, you have to be intimate, and you have to have a relationship with your subject. The Leica allowed you to do that. What Leicas did for still photography in the 1940s and 1950s, iPhones and smartphones can do for video journalism. It doesn't mean replacing big, heavy, shoulder-mounted cameras with little iPhones like this, which some people say, oh, it's not real, it's a toy. It doesn't mean just replacing them and using it in the same way. It means using it in a different way. It means using it in a way that's much more intimate, that captures emotion, that captures power, that doesn't just take a picture, even if it's a great picture because of fantastic lenses, but instead evokes a different kind of response from the subject and captures something in the subject and broadcasts it back to the viewer. And that's the nature of the relationship that we're engaged in when we replace big heavy cameras with iPhones like this and teach our journalists through the boot camps how to use them in a very, very different way. And they work. And the quality that you get from this is astonishing. The thing shoots 4K, it edits, it adds music, it adds graphics, it goes live. It's an inevitable improvement on a tool for capturing television and video journalism. But to make it work, you have to use it in a very, very different way. You can't use it as a big camera, simply shrunk down. And that's what we try to do with the boot camps. I want you to take a look at this example that came out of KPIX, which is the CBS affiliate in San Francisco. The person who did this, Kit Doe, took the boot camp. This is the story that he did, one-day shoot, done only with an iPhone and a drone, as you'll see at the end. But notice how it captures emotion. It's a beautiful story. It's all done by himself. This, to me, is the future of television journalism. And it's precipitated by this, just like the future of photojournalism and photography in the 1930s was precipitated by this.
Did you do this panel?
Yes.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Getting 7-year-olds to sit still can sometimes feel like a miracle.
Do you want him to move?
I want him to move 3 seconds.
3 seconds.
But consider this. These first graders are coding.
Coding is not easy. But if you keep trying, you will get it.
Their young brains have adopted a way of thinking called growth mindset.
What is a growth mindset?
The growth mindset. Do you know what?
Encouraging, and you're like, I can do this. And like, you never give up.
And then you could do different ones, like a circle.
How did you learn how to do that?
My teacher taught me.
Their teacher is Lena Sugihara. After 10 years in the classroom, she's still hacking her own lessons to make them better.
There are things that you need to teach, but you can teach it however you like, and I think I really like that creative part.
Ms. Sugihara may have cracked the code in creating a modern-day curriculum, combining technology and fun.
So you are sure you're not a software engineer?
I'm not.
To give them so-called thinking tools and get them ready for the real world.
What do you do when you get stuck? What kind of strategy can you use so that they feel like, I'm not stuck here forever?
Then a wise jellyfish showed.
They started back in the fall by writing and reading stories about sea creatures showing grit, patience, and perseverance.
Like this.
The kids drew their characters on iPads. They each recorded voice tracks for the script.
I need to have stamina.
And you also add the green flag.
And then came the secret sauce. Ms. Sugihara used off-the-shelf software called Scratch Junior to teach them what's known as block coding. Working in groups motivated them to not give up.
But then when you do something together as a class or with your friends, you get to be like, I'm doing this. What do you think? And you get to bounce ideas off of each other. So when you do this together as a class, it definitely helps them, like they can go farther. Is it okay if I fix the sounds? Really?
With the help of a couple of digital projectors, it all came together, and the aquarium project was a splash.
They were like, oh my gosh, we made all of these together. And that was truly magical.
It's so funny, we love it.
For Haley Jazorski, just 7 years old, coding was the easy part.
Do you think you'll ever say, this is so hard, I give up?
Sometimes, but not really.
Have you noticed a change in Haley?
I have.
Parents know at some point their kids' homework will be so advanced they'll no longer be able to help. Mandy Jazorski did not think that day would come so soon.
Do you remember what you were doing in first grade?
I think we were spending a lot of time on cursive, handwriting, definitely not coding.
Planting the seed, nurturing with encouragement, and raising resilient kids. Yes, it is as hard as it sounds.
If you want to do it, it could be really hard, but you can do it.